David Rouser, North Carolina, Congressional District 7.
3, 2, 1.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable David Rouser, who's a representative from the 7th Congressional District of North Carolina, also chairman of the House Ag Subcommittee on Livestock and Foreign Agriculture, and also sits on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Great to see you.
Great to be with you.
Let's just talk about the district just a little bit for those who aren't familiar with that 7th Congressional District. What do we find?
Well, it's 9 counties total, 7 whole counties, 2 partial counties. The vast majority of the district is heavy agriculture, although the population base of the district is there on the coast. I've got 3 coastal counties, Pender, New Hanover, which is home to Wilmington, North Carolina, and then Brunswick County, and that's roughly about 60% of the population base. We have a lot of folks from the Northeast and other places that are moving into the district. And, of course, we welcome them with open arms, but it's also created a bit of a population explosion. In fact, Brunswick County has been one of the fastest growing counties in the state of North Carolina, for probably the last 10, 12 years in particular. Now, as you travel up I-40 towards Raleigh from the coast, from Wilmington, that's when you get into a very a strong, rich agriculture sector, have a lot of pork. Have a lot of poultry, turkeys, chickens, and as I mentioned, pork, got a lot of hogs. We also have a significant amount of tobacco, sweet potatoes, soybeans, of course, blueberries, strawberries, you name it, we've got it. And so it's a very diverse agriculture district as well. And so as you travel up I-40 leaving Wilmington, you're basically leaving the population base of the district. And you're going through a significant amount of rural area, a lot of rural small towns, rural communities. And then you get to right outside of Raleigh, and that northern part of the district comprises roughly, 25% of the population. And as of the last congressional redraw just about a year and a half ago, I have all of Wayne County now, which is also a very strong agriculture county. But is also home to Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. And so I've got a strong military presence now in addition to a lot of hogs, turkeys, and chickens.
So when you talk about that diversity, if you will, a farm bill, really you have to have eyes on different aspects of that. Farm bill hearings have begun here in D.C. What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Well, Chairman Conaway has been very aggressive with the hearings, started in the last Congress, quite frankly, when he was named chairman. We have examined almost every issue under the sun, from the basic safety net structure that's a part of the current farm bill to food aid issues, where you've got some interest in moving away from commodity assistance to cash only. That's an area of the debate that I've been involved in, because that actually is under the jurisdiction of my subcommittee, Livestock and Foreign Agriculture. That foreign ag piece, of course, is food aid, and it's also our market access program and the foreign market development program, which we're going to work hard to try to protect, the funding for that. And that's going to be one of the big questions moving into the next farm bill discussion that we're having now and as we move forward, is just how much of the budget are we going to be able to protect and use, for the next farm bill. We've got modifications we'd like to make to the SNAP program. And right now, one of the big problems we have with food stamps in particular is what we call the cliff, where once you advance yourself and you make a higher salary, all of a sudden you lose all your benefit. And that's what we refer to as the cliff. And so therefore you have a natural incentive for people not to take that extra step to advance themselves, because they're sitting there looking at the math and they understand that if they make that extra $1,000 per year, $5,000 per year, $10,000 per year, they lose all their benefits. So one of the things that we're looking at as a committee is how can we restructure that program to wean people off of our welfare programs and food stamps in particular, and do it in a way that that incentivizes folks to do it. It doesn't incentivize folks, to stay on the dole, the government dole. And that's the one problem that government has universally, is in many cases our policies, as well intended as they may be, oftentimes the incentives are backwards. You get more of what you subsidize and you get less of what you tax, and that applies to just practically everything. It's just a universal truth. And so it's going to require us to work really hard to maintain our budget, not let as little of the amount of money that we have reserved for the farm bill go for other programs government-wide, so that we can keep it to make the kind of modifications on the food stamp side, in particular SNAP. So those are some of the big issues that we're going to be dealing with. And, of course, I think folks are going to find that the overall structure of the farm bill is the overall structure of the safety net that's in the current farm bill isn't going to change in any dramatic way, but we want to shore it up. We want to make sure that our farmers and our ranchers are getting the assistance that they need when they need it. For example, in cotton, it's been a huge problem, in that I've got a lot of cotton producers that have had significant quality losses over the last several years, and this is nationwide, of course. And because they had a crop, that they could harvest in the field, it didn't trigger any type of support for them. Because the program that we have in place today does not really address the quality issue the way that it needs to. So those type of things we're going to be looking at, obviously, to shore up so that we have a much stronger safety net. And in fact, I think it's important for your listeners to know that the Farm Bill is basically about $110 billion or so under budget, meaning we've spent less, we're going to be spending less over the long term with the current farm bill than was originally projected, to the tune of $110 billion or so. And that's the savings that I'm talking about that we don't want to have taken away from the jurisdiction of the Ag Committee and given to other places, because we want to take that savings and basically redirect it to put in place the transition period for SNAP so that you don't have a cliff. To buttress the current safety net that we have for the commodity programs. And, it's important to note, when you're saving the federal government $110 billion, you shouldn't be punished. You shouldn't be punished for that. You should be rewarded. But that oftentimes is not how things work here in Washington. So that's going to be a real battle for us, is how do we protect those dollars. And we're going to have to, we're going to have to give some of it up. Because, hey, we have a $20 trillion debt. But we want to be smart about this, get the incentives right, so that in the long term we have a much stronger safety net for agriculture and we have fewer people who are dependent upon our social welfare programs, such as food stamps.
You mentioned in there just a couple of things. First off, you're a small businessman as well. Or let me just say a businessman. And so some things may not make sense for businessmen when they see Washington. You talk about the savings there. One thing that probably didn't make sense to some in the beef industry was a market that was closed off. China, there's been an agreement there. What are you seeing on that front?
Well, of course, the history of that is, and I think in general principle, if a country doesn't want a product, one excuse is just as good as another. And, of course, back in 02, 03, we had the mad cow issue here. They used that basically as an excuse to ban beef exports from America into China. That market has been closed, since then until the recent announcement that they're going to open it back up. Which is great. A lot of folks have been working for a long time to make that happen. And I know Chairman Conaway and I are, really thrilled has finally, transpired to where we're going to have that market access again. Exports are, just a critical component. It's the key for American agriculture. We have the best producers in the world, and we produce a lot. And we need to have markets, to export those products too. And China, obviously, it's one of your world population centers, worldwide. And so whenever you can have access to that market, it's a big boost to everybody involved. And really, it's a win-win. It's a win for our beef industry in this country, and it's a win for the consumers in China. Because they're going to get a very a great and substantial form of protein that every society needs.
You mentioned exports. We've been looking at record pork exports as well. Infrastructure, though, we do have an aging infrastructure, whether you're talking highways, waterways, ports, railroad. What's ahead for that?
Well, that brings me to a big, broad, general point that I always like to make. I've always believed that if you have the right agriculture policy in place, can feed yourself and the rest of the world, you're in a dominant position from a national security standpoint and from an economic standpoint. If you have the right energy policy in place where you can provide the energy for yourself and the rest of the world, that's another key component. And then what puts all that, brings all that to fruition, quite frankly, is a good, strong, robust infrastructure. And our infrastructure needs are significant. It's an area that has been largely neglected, I'd say, over the last 20, 30 years in particular. And I'm so pleased that the president and his team are so engaged and so forcefully advocating for a strong infrastructure plan. And, of course, they are in the process of working up their proposals on that front, which we're excited about. And I know Chairman Schuster is very excited as well about having the opportunity to really have a once-in-a-lifetime, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but a once-in-a-generational opportunity to really provide a shot in the arm, for our aging infrastructure in this country. In my district, I have the port at Wilmington. Obviously, a number of airports all throughout my district as well. I've got I-95 and I-40 that crisscross in my district too. And not only from a transportation standpoint, air and land, but you have a lot of infrastructure needs in terms of sewer, water. You have infrastructure needs in terms of the dredging of inlets and waterways that are so important for commercial and recreational vessels. And so all of that goes together. All that really helps us to become the very prosperous nation that we need to be so that we're very prosperous here at home, which enables us to be very strong abroad. It all goes together. Because if you have a good, strong economy, and you really can't have a good, strong economy unless you have a good agriculture policy, you have a good energy policy, you have a good sound infrastructure in place to move products from point A to point B in a timely and effective manner. That are several of the keys to real, true economic growth. The other is availability of labor. Which is a huge issue for agriculture, as all of your listeners know. Anybody involved in agriculture or business, even outside of agriculture, labor is a real key. If you don't have the labor that you need when you need it, you can't get the crops out of the field, and you can't get the crops to market. You can't manufacture the products that you're trying to manufacture. And I can't tell you the number of employers that come to this office, whether I've here in the United States Congress or when I was in the North Carolina legislature as a state senator, who say, hey, Senator, Congressman, we can't get access to the labor that we need. And it's a real problem all across the board. So if we want to grow the economy at a 3 or 4 percentage point rate like we need to get the revenues coming into the Treasury to address the debt issue, a $20 trillion debt, to address the increases in spending that we need for our military, to improve their readiness and their capability, you've got to have an ample and timely source of labor. And so that's another, key component as well. So all these things really tie together. They really, really do. And that's one thing I really like about my committee assignments as a member of the House Agriculture Committee, the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and also as a member, a new member as of this Congress, of the Natural Resources Committee. Those committee jurisdictions of those three really cover the gambit of everything that we're talking about here. Because we've been blessed by God to have significant natural resources in this country, and to have the talent and the expertise to produce the very best and safest, food, and not only for ourselves but for the world, and of course the fiber that we need for everything else. So it's an exciting time to have an opportunity to really advance the country from a standpoint of our work and negotiations with the Farm Bill coming up. It's an exciting time to have the opportunity, once in a generation opportunity, as I said earlier, to focus in on the infrastructure needs and hopefully pass a robust infrastructure package that will be of great benefit to the country and our economic growth. And then, of course, we're dealing with health care and tax reform as well. And so, quite honestly, in spite of all the theater that people see on TV as it relates to Washington, there's a tremendous amount of work that's being done on all these critical fronts, on health care, on tax reform, on infrastructure, on agriculture, on welfare reform as it relates to food stamps and the SNAP program in particular. There's just a tremendous amount that's taking place. The regulatory reform that we're pursuing as well. Most all your listeners will be familiar with Waters of the USA. We've just had an avalanche of rules and regulations that have been coming out of the previous administration that were just going to make it really difficult to do business. And Waters of the USA would have crippled agriculture nationwide. It would have crippled economic development, housing development, any commercial development, nationwide, and would have been just a horrible nuisance for every landowner, whether you owned an acre of land or whether you owned 100,000 acres of land or even more. It was going to be a significant problem. So every week we're rolling back those rules and regulations that make it very difficult, have made it very difficult to do business. And I think what you're seeing in the economy today, our business owners, farmers, and ranchers who say, finally, we don't have to worry about what the federal government's going to do next to make our life that much more difficult. They can focus on their business, they can focus on their future, and they can make investments, knowing that at least for the next 3.5-4 years anyhow, they've got an opportunity to do what they do best, and that's produce the best food and fiber for the world.
It's great to visit with you. Thanks for your time and for your work, and we wish you the best.
Great to visit with you as well, and come back anytime.
Maybe I can see you in September at Mule Days.
Mule Day, if you've not been, you need to come. It's an experience everybody needs to have. It's one of the most popular parades in North Carolina, and everybody from everywhere shows up. It's right there near the intersection of I-95 and I-40. In Benson, North Carolina, which is a great small town, about 34 miles just outside of Raleigh, as you're traveling along I-40 on your way to the beach. And it is a staple in Johnston County, obviously Benson, that town is in Johnston County, but that's been a staple of Johnston County in North Carolina for a long time.
Good to see you. Again, it's the Representative David Rauser, North Carolina's 7th Congressional District Representative, Chairman of the House Ag Subcommittee on Livestock and Foreign Agriculture. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.